The momentum sparked by the first Earth Day in 1970 lit a match under Congress. Americans wanted our environment cleaned up so bad that it took less than 3 years for the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Endangered Species Acts to each pass by huge bipartisan majorities. The newly empowered Environmental Protection Agency banned just about all domestic use of DDT on December 31, 1972, little more than 6 months after William Ruckelshaus, administrator of the new EPA, issued an order canceling nearly all remaining federal registrations of DDT products. Public health, quarantine, and a few minor crop uses were accepted, and manufacturers were still allowed to export DDT to other countries. The six-month delay between Ruckelshaus's order and the date it went into effect gave farmers till the end of the growing season to use up what DDT they still had and helped the U.S. Department of Agriculture instruct farmers on safe alternatives. As early as 1944, FDA pharmacologist Herbert O. Calvary expressed concern over possible hazards associated with DDT, and in 1947, Bradbury Robinson, a physician and nutritionist practicing in St. Louis, Michigan, also warned of DDT's dangers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, the federal agency with responsibility for regulating pesticides before the formation of the U.S. EPA, began regulatory actions to prohibit many of DDT's uses in the 1950s because of mounting evidence of the pesticide's declining benefits and environmental and toxicological effects. So the use of DDT in the U.S. was already declining before Rachel Carson's Silent Spring was published in 1962. Silent Spring was serialized in The New Yorker and then published in book form, becoming a national bestseller. Carson focused a lot of her attention on DDT not because it was the only persistent or dangerous pesticide, but because it had been so heavily used since World War II that many of its harmful effects were known, so it made an excellent case study in what can happen to humans and wildlife when a pesticide is pushed by government and industry before its effects are fully known. Carson never suggested banning DDT or any other pesticide. She simply believed that such dangerous chemicals should be used as sparingly as possible and only in situations for which there weren't effective alternatives, rather the way we should have been using antibiotics all along, and for the exact same reason. Carson explained that mosquitoes and other rapidly multiplying insect pests grew resistant when DDT was applied in the environment. The pesticide was exceptionally effective at eradicating mosquitoes for a year or two, but then the positive effects started slowly and then more rapidly diminishing. Why? Most of, but not quite all, the bugs that got the full dose during and immediately after spraying died, but surviving mosquitoes were at least a little resistant, and their rapid reproduction rate guaranteed that continued applications of DDT would increase the mosquitoes' resistance generation after generation, resulting in an accelerating and futile arms race between the pests and the pesticide. Meanwhile, populations of dragonflies and other long-lived, slower-reproducing insects that provided at least some check on mosquito numbers did not bounce back so quickly. In every place where DDT has been applied to the outside environment, mosquitoes have quickly developed resistance. Malaria continues to kill hundreds of thousands of people every year, primarily in Africa, but the World Health Organization does not recommend environmental pesticide spraying, particularly for agricultural use, noting that, quote, progress in global malaria control is threatened by emerging resistance to insecticides among Anopheles mosquitoes. DDT is still used in countries where malaria is a scourge, but seldom in the outside environment. Mosquitoes take it up via their feet. So when they stand on ceilings, upper walls, and bed nettings where it was applied at maximum strength, they die. And on these indoor surfaces, DDT's persistence keeps it effective for far, far longer than it is in the outside environment. Rachel Carson would have approved of this World Health Organization-sanctioned use of the pesticide. But facts be damned, organized anti-environmental groups still pretend that Rachel Carson deserves all the credit or blame for single-handedly getting DDT banned worldwide. For this soft-spoken, humble woman to have so effectively sparked the environmental movement stuck in the craw of powerful forces. Even as she was dying, and then for all these decades since her death in 1963, they've never let up their relentless efforts to vilify her. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.